Warning, the following podcast may contain potential plot spoilers, but then again, it may not at all. Hello and welcome to Potential Spoilers. I'm Kieran and I'm joined by Maddie D.
And revisiting the past awakens a great danger that terrifies the children. And if you didn't want to know that, then you shouldn't be listening to the show because that is a spoiler.
A very vague spoiler, but I really like it because it's very thematic, I feel. Yeah. You've done a great job tying both movies into one spoiler in quotation marks as well. So yeah, great job there.
Thanks. It's been what I've been doing the last few episodes of the actual spoilers, if anybody's listening.
I barely noticed. And I do this show. Yeah, sorry, man. But yeah, so Matty D and I have both watched Beast and Hocus Pocus 2. And we're here today to see how close we got at predicting the plots, I think, all the way back about 2 years ago now. Back in 2022, we predicted what was going to happen in Beast and Hocus Pocus 2. And now we're going to be assigning points to each other or to ourselves in some circumstances. And yeah, we're just going to grade how well we did, essentially. If I could belabor that point enough. So this isn't necessarily a review of both Beast and Hocus Pocus 2. We're not going to go over the actual plots of those movies beat by beat. We're only going to relate what happened in the movie to what we originally said. So if you haven't seen those movies and you really want to, it's probably best you watch them first, both for context and if you don't want them spoiled. And if you haven't listened to our original episodes either, I'd recommend going back and listening to those first, because we're only going to be really paying attention to and drawing from what we said there. And I think they were both pretty entertaining episodes as well, if you do ask me.
I was surprised at how, all of our episodes are great, but I forgot how entertaining, fun we had.
Yeah, it's always a joy going back to and listening to something that we recorded like 2 years ago, because you forget all about it.
Forget everything.
Like, look at all these jokes. I'm making myself laugh. Matty D's making me laugh, but yeah. Not to toot our own horns, of course. It feels very sort of like masturbatory, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
To sort of congratulate ourselves for our own work. But yeah, let's speak of masturbatory in another form. Not really. I think I'm being unfair there. Let's talk about Beast.
Let's tackle
the Beast that is Beast. So, Manny D, how much do you think that Beast made in the worldwide box office?
Did it even come to cinemas?
It did. I saw it in the cinema.
Ah, okay. So, I'm going to guess
it had a budget of $36 million, if that affects your guess at all.
Jesus, man. I was going to say $8
million. Oh, really?
So it made $36 million, was it?
I didn't say it made that.
You said that's the budget. I think, I don't know, $40 million maybe.
Ooh, you're actually not too far off. It made $59.1 million, meaning that this movie was a massive failure.
Yes. Okay, well, that's no surprise there.
Yeah, it was a huge box office bomb, and it was actually released at the same time as the latest Dragon Ball Super movie. It was Dragon Ball Super Hero. If you remember that movie, they were released at the same time, and that movie made more money, which is great. That was like a little victory on my behalf. Yeah. As we know from doing this show, I'm a big like Dragon Ball franchise fan, and the fact that the Dragon Ball movie beat Beast, I'm just like, yeah, it's still got legs.
I mean, is it really much of a victory?
To me, it is.
Okay, well, that's the main thing.
I mean, it sort of feels like you're putting down like a lame lion, but you got to take your victories where you can. So, before we get into how well we did, Matty D, can you please explain how our point system works for these sort of episodes?
Yes. So, I'm going to be grading Kieran's plot. Kieran is going to be grading my plot. And if we got something that wasn't in any of the promotional materials, not in any of the trailers, we give that 2 points. If we get something that is in one of the trailers or any of the promotional material, that's 1 point. If we got something that isn't 100% correct but sort of on the right track, that's 0.5 point. And if we got something dead wrong, that's 0 points. We calculate all those up, and that is the score we give our plots.
That's exactly right. I couldn't have said it any better myself. So, who was it that went first in that original episode? Was it me or was it you?
I think it might have been you.
I did my notes on Tuesday, so it's been so long, and we're recording this on a Sunday.
Yes.
So, it's been so long since I've actually listened to the episode that I can't actually recall which one of us went first.
I think it was you.
I believe it was me.
Yes, it was you.
Yeah.
It was you, because we had the same we had the same starter.
That's right. That's right. Yes. Of course. Yep. Of course.
Cool. So, just because this is a joint episode with another movie that we're covering later on, I'm just going to go over the highlights.
Yep.
For
things otherwise
that
we'll
you
be
got,
here all day.
Yeah. Things that you got right, or just interesting things that you predicted for this movie. But I have tallied up everything you said, and I've created a ratio here. So, first thing I want to say is we mentioned this when we spoke about the casting. This actor called Riley. I can't pronounce her last name, but you said she was in Mad Max Fury Road, right?
I have no memory of that at all.
So just want to say straight out that she was credited to be in this movie.
Oh, yes, yes, yeah.
And you and I did not know where she would appear in this movie. She isn't in this movie at all.
Yeah, I did realize that. That's right.
I predicted her to be Martin's wife. Yep. I think you said you didn't really fit her into your plot at all.
Yeah, I didn't know how she fit in because she wasn't in the trailers.
But she wasn't in the movie at all.
No, it was just a misquote from the Wikipedia article, yes, which happens all the time to us, of course.
Yes. So right off the bat, you called the start. You said that it would start with some hunters being attacked by a lion, which is how the movie does start. Ooh, there's a little bit of a dream montage thing going on.
Yeah.
But it does start with the lion attacking sort of some poachers or some hunters. That's exactly right. So 2 points there. You said that the girls complain that they don't have any mobile device or any reception. Yeah. That does happen. It happens pretty much straight away when they first come into
when we're introduced to them in the plane, the family in the plane.
Yes, yes. Now, this is something really interesting. A big part of your plot is you thought that Nate's wife would die in a car accident, right? Which he would feel responsible for and would cause him to have a fear of driving. Now, in the actual movie, his wife died of cancer. Yeah. They had a rough relationship and
They separated.
So he has a lot of guilt because he wasn't able to make it work before she died. The kids also blame him as well. Yeah. But you had this idea that he caused it in a car accident, and that's why he couldn't drive a car, which was not an aspect of the movie
he
at all.
He was fine driving a car.
He was fine driving a car. I think you saw in the trailer him behind a wheel of a car while the lion was attacking the car, maybe.
Well, I also saw that he got his daughter to drive the car as well, one of his daughters to drive the car as well. And I'm like, well, why isn't he just driving?
Yes.
But no, because he was in a circumstance where he was being attacked by a lion.
That'll do it. There is a scene where Nate does attend to Martin's wounds. Give you points for that. That does happen
in the
movie.
He's a doctor.
Okay, jumping right ahead, because this is something you say later on. You said that Nate was a doctor, where I think I said he was a biologist.
We'll get into that, yeah.
We'll get into what I said. But you did say that Nate is a doctor, and he 100% is. It's a huge part of the plot. It's a huge part of this story. It's what he kind of brings to the table and how he can kind of survive all the events that happen and how he can look after people. So that was a huge thing that you called. So 2 points there. There was no evidence that that was the case. You're right when you said Meredith was she became injured in the course of the movie and she was bleeding out and Nate had to attend to her. That pretty much the case. I think you might have said Nora was the child.
No, it was Meredith.
In the movie it was Meredith.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll give you points for that. So you're right with the whole idea of the lion's backstory, that it was attacked by humans and then it had a vendetta against other humans, which sort of caused the whole course of this story to take place, that the lion's just angry at everybody and trying to kill them because humans killed its family, which was the case in the movie.
Yeah.
All right. You did think right at the end that the lion and Nate would have a moment of understanding. You describe it as the lion and Nate looking at each other and a head tilt. And you know what? Although that doesn't quite happen, the end of the movie is the lion getting... Nate kind of brings the lion out and it gets attacked by the good guy lions.
Yeah. Which is just as silly if you ask me.
Yeah. But there is a moment where Nate has this look with the lion and there's kind of this mutual understanding. So I'll give you 2 points for that. Because
I was not expecting that at all.
It does happen. Not in the way that you thought. You thought that they would kind of look at each other and the lion would run off. That, of course, does not happen. Mm. But there is moments throughout the movie and in the end where this does happen. You said that in the end they would be driving off happy.
Yeah.
Which they do.
Yeah, he wakes up in the hospital, doesn't he? We don't see them drive off at all. He just blacks out.
Yeah.
But presumably he's happy while he's blacked out and the wildlife people are looking after him.
Doesn't the scene, isn't there photos and stuff at the end? I thought that's my memory.
No.
This was our most forgettable movie. I want to say that.
We're getting there, aren't we?
When we spoke about this movie in our best and worst, we said
2022,
that this was the most forgettable movie, and I think that's already starting to show.
For that year, yeah.
Yes, yes. So that's all the main points here, but I got to say I was pretty impressed. I think you called the beats of this movie pretty well.
Oh, yeah?
You started, you had the start of the movie pretty much nailed. It started with a flashback or, with the poachers being attacked and the lion attacking Nate throughout the course of the movie. You called points of the trailer correct. The ending, you didn't quite get 100%. And the whole Nate being afraid of driving was a huge part of your plot, but it wasn't in the movie. But other than that, it was pretty good. And with that, you got 47 points.
Well, there you go. Yeah, not too bad.
It was a short plot, but...
Yeah.
It was good.
Both of us had really, really short plots for specific episode. Mine was like 10 minutes in length, and I think yours was 15 minutes.
Yes.
And that's only because I kept asking you questions and getting you to elaborate on stuff. Yeah. So, as a result of that, you might end up with more points.
Maybe. Who knows? There were definitely questions I didn't have the answers for, and I had to make it up on the spot, back to it.
And it may have hurt you as well.
All right, let's hear it.
So, let's get into what you said. So, straight away, you thought that the movie would start with a flashback, with not with the young lion being pushed on a swing set and scraping at sea. No, that would just be silly. But with young Nate meeting his future wife for the first time. Now, as we've already discussed, the movie actually starts with a cold open with a group of poachers killing the lion's pride before the lion kills some of the poachers.
Yes.
So, no flashback in this movie, which is great because that totally negates our rule of every movie starting with a childhood flashback.
Yes, it didn't start with a childhood flashback, but you could argue that that cold open is a flashback. We don't know how...
Well, it can't have been too far in the past because it would have just been the night before.
I guess so. No,
so it was just in the chronological order of events. So, yeah, not a flashback. You said that the cause of Nate's wife's death will never be revealed in the movie. It's actually revealed really early on in the movie that she died of cancer.
It is.
Yeah. You said that Nate is a wildlife biologist, and so is his wife, and so is Martin.
They're all wildlife biologists.
Yeah, and that's how you're like, oh, that's how they know each other. They're at university together or whatever. But Nate, as we've already discussed as well, he is a doctor in the actual movie. We're never told what his wife does or did for work.
All we know is
she did photography, yeah.
Yeah, all we know is that she did photography, but that could be a hobby.
Yeah, we don't know if that was a profession or a hobby. Just don't know. But to your credit, Martin is a wildlife biologist, but we knew that going into the movie. Yeah. So, yeah, that's all good. Now, you said that the movie will be a metaphor for Nate dealing with the death of his wife. Now, I don't think it is, to be perfectly honest.
Really?
I didn't really see any parallels there. We had a few dream sequences where, he's calling out to his wife and trying to, find her in a crowd of people, but, the lion thing, I'm not seeing any parallels there, man. You can draw them, but I'm it just wasn't clear enough for me.
Yeah, maybe
I think it was just a straight sort of monster movie, to be honest.
Yeah, maybe you're right. Maybe in my head I see it because I predicted it, but I think you're right. I think the main...
Because I was really looking for it.
The main message of the movie is his relationship with his daughters, and the lion is just background for that drama.
Right. Yeah, that's right. And, yeah, I don't really get the metaphor, if that's what you're going for, of, being attacked and being in harm's way and it attacking the poachers. I just don't get the metaphor. It's not strong enough for me to be oh, yeah, he nailed it.
Yeah, fair.
Because, yeah, and again, this is all subjective. If anyone wants to write in and tell us otherwise, I'd be happy to give Matty D a point.
I'm just interested if anybody else has watched this movie.
Yeah, I can guarantee you they haven't. Now, you said that Martin is married in your plot.
Yes.
You tried to work in that character again, as we mentioned before. In the actual movie, it's funny because he's only recently broken up with a girlfriend. Yeah, and so he's living a bachelor lifestyle.
If only I predicted the plot a little earlier, I would have been right.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I don't think he was ever married. He was just, recently broken up. Now, we were both wrong in thinking that Nate was from England. We had a big conversation during your plot. Is he from England? It doesn't sound like he's doing an American accent in the trailer. Are his daughters British? Was his wife British? Was she American? Where do they come from? But, we understand fairly early on in the movie that Nate and his daughters are from America.
Uh-huh.
We understand that Martin Battles met Nate when he was at university. I believe he was at university in America. It's never clear. And he said that he introduced Nate to his wife, but we don't know where that happened, presumably in Africa. We know that Nate had been in Africa before, but we were both completely wrong in our assessment. We both settled on the fact that he was British, but he was American.
No, you were right. Remember, we decided that you went with American and I went with British. We're like, one of us will be right.
Yeah, we weren't close enough there. We weren't close enough. Unless you gave me points,
I gave you one.
Okay, well, fair enough. But, maybe you could have dragged a couple of details out of there. But, yeah. Yeah, it wasn't really. You sort of intimated in that original episode that it wasn't important to go into those details. And it really wasn't.
It wasn't, no.
It wasn't at all. Now, this is something that I thought was amusing. I just wanted to bring up just to rib you a little bit. You thought that the injured villager that they run into on the road, you remember how they go to the village and everyone's dead and they start driving down the road and an injured villager steps out on the road? You don't remember this at all?
Sure, yeah, I guess so.
Well, this is going to hurt my fucking point then if you don't remember it. But you said that it was going to be a woman who they run into.
And it was a man.
In the actual movie, it was a man. In the trailer, I went back and watched the trailer.
It's a man in the trailer?
It's really obviously a man. They even say he's from the village. He has a beard. And there's no possible way that I don't think a reasonable person could ever have mistaken this for a woman. Because you're like, I thought it was an older lady, but, you know, it was so obviously a man. I don't know how you got that from the trailer.
Broken clock is right.
Yeah. Yeah, twice maybe. Yeah, well, who knows? Moving on. You said that the lion will slash the engine of the car, making it so that they can't drive anymore. In the actual movie, they crash the car into a tree.
Yes.
And then it can't drive anymore.
Yeah.
But it's a funny mental image of just like...
slash the engine.
Like it starts spraying out fuel. You said that the poachers are actually pillagers who are stealing things from the abandoned village. That's not actually the case. We both discussed in the original episode.
We did.
We were like, I don't think they're poachers. We both said that. We were like, I can't see them as poachers. So I had them as like sort of mercenaries.
Yeah.
And you had them as pillagers.
Yep. They were just poachers.
They were just poachers in the movie. And yeah. I don't know why we thought otherwise. You said that Mare and Nora will be kidnapped by the pillagers. They do go to do that, but they don't actually kidnap them in the movie.
Yeah.
They go to take them away, but what they were planning to do with them, who knows?
Mm.
Who knows? You said that at one stage, the lion will appear to die and there will be suspense when we don't know where the lion is. That's the case in both counts.
Yes.
Absolutely right.
There's a few times where you don't know where the lion is.
Yes, that's right. And there is a scene where it looks like the lion is killed. But then, of course, it turns up all charred and black. And
comes back from the fires like a phoenix.
Yeah, I wanted to get to that point very shortly. In fact, right now, you said that Martin will die, but he won't be killed by the lion, but when his car falls off a cliff. That's exactly what happens. But, of course, you didn't include the moment where...
He blows himself up.
He blows up the car, attempting to blow up the lion as well. And then, of course, you know, we think that the lion's dead, but it comes back, you know, with a blackened face.
Yep.
Like in a cartoon. You said that Nate will fight the lion with his bare hands and tricks it into impaling itself on a sharp rock. Well, he does fight it with his bare hands, but no, we don't actually find out what happens to the lion. I think we presume that it's killed by the good guy lions, as you described them, but yeah, doesn't impale itself on a sharp rock. You said that Nate will learn that the lion's wife was killed by poachers and comforts the lion as it dies. Now, the lion's wife, or who knows, the rest of its pride, were killed by the poachers, but there's no comforting.
No.
It was very similar to the ending of my plot, wasn't it? Where, like, there's mutual respect for the lion.
Yes.
And that sort of helps the metaphor, but because we didn't have that, that sort of, again, sort of indicates to me that that metaphor just wasn't there in the movie.
It's funny that we both thought that that metaphor would be in the movie.
Yeah.
We in some way, yeah. In our predictions, but it wasn't really there strongly in the movie.
I said this in the original episode. It's just, I don't think that's something the filmmakers were thinking about when they made this movie.
Yeah.
I don't think that was their approach at all. But with all that in mind, I tallied up all your points. That was, of course, just the highlights of what you said. And that gives you a total of 44 points.
Wow. Okay. We're pretty much evenly matched
there.
We
pretty much said the same thing.
Yes, we did.
So, yeah, we're very much on an even playing field there. So, that was how well we did with predicting the plot of Beast. But, Matty D, what did you think of the actual movie, Beast, itself?
What movie? Beast? Did we cover that?
I'm struggling to remember it now, to be honest.
Okay, here's what I'm going to say about Beast, and I'm going to put the positive stuff out there first. I think everybody involved in this movie did a really good job making chicken salad out of chicken shit. Like, the acting's good, the cinematography's great, the stuff with the lion looks good, the dialogue works. It's just a boring fucking movie.
Oh, yeah.
And there's absolutely no saving that. And I appreciate how they did all that, like, one camera shots and things like that. That
was absolutely
nice, but it's just a boring movie. And they knew they were making a boring movie.
Well, I don't know if they intended to make a boring movie, but that is what they ended up with.
It definitely feels like everyone came for a paycheck.
Yeah. It definitely felt like it was made out of some sort of contractual obligation. Yes. I didn't realize until I rewatched the movie how much of the movie was taking place inside the crashed car.
Yes.
I feel like 90%, at least half an hour of the movie, they're inside the broken down car overnight, just sort of the lion's coming up and harassing them every now and again, and they're just sitting in the car talking with each other. Like, so much of the movie is that. And I remember just sitting there clock watching going like, come on, just do something.
Yeah, this was a clock watching movie. I found myself being so easily distracted watching it and trying
to
focus on the movie because I knew we had to predict it. And it's a hard watch in that respect. It's not a bad movie.
Oh, absolutely not.
And nothing is bad about it. It's just not fun and not interesting.
It's not entertaining, no. You're right, it is boring. I did get pretty bored watching the movie and I wouldn't recommend anybody watches it.
Me neither, no. I wouldn't recommend it.
There's no sort of level of fun in this movie at all. Like, they just didn't have fun with the what was, frankly, a silly premise.
Yes.
didn't have fun with it. There was no point where it became entertaining.
There was no real suspense. There was a little bit, yeah. But I never felt
on the edge of my seat. Never.
This is all stuff we've seen before, yeah. Just watered down.
And of course, this is the main reason why we called this the most forgettable movie that we covered in 2022. Yeah. And it may be up there for the most forgettable movie that we've ever covered on this show.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think if we spoke about this movie in a week's time, I would remember none of it. I'd be like, there's a lion in it.
Yeah.
I think that's about it.
On that same note, let's start talking about Hocus Pocus 2.
Let's do it. What a palate cleanser, Kieran.
Did you not just not hear what I said?
Yeah.
So, Matty D, how much do you think Hocus Pocus 2 made in the worldwide box office?
Look, this can't have made a lot. I mean, this went straight to streaming, right?
Yes.
Yes, it did. So, was there a box office for it?
No.
Yeah, okay. So, are we going to say how much did it make?
Well, it didn't make any money that we're aware of. It had a $40 million budget.
Right.
So, it was actually lower than Beast's budget,
yeah.
Surprisingly enough, given the, I guess, star power in quotation marks behind it. But they did say, I remember reading that Disney did say it was the most streamed movie on their platform at the time of release.
I remember hearing that.
But they say that about every one of their movies, yeah, that comes to Disney Plus.
And it's really hard to judge that metric. Like, you're only taking their word for it.
Yeah, exactly. And it's just their platform. So, yeah, that doesn't really indicate how well the movie's doing.
And they're promoting that particular movie as well on their streaming service. So, people will watch it if it's promoted.
Yeah.
So,
Let's not forget that Black Widow came straight to Disney Plus as well. And they said the exact same thing about that. They said that was the most streamed movie on their platform at the time of release. So, it doesn't mean anything when they say this. So, I think ultimately the only way we'd really know is if this actually came out in cinemas. You were never intended to. So, we'll never know if this movie was a success or not financially. But I guess they weren't really going for like a big blockbuster here.
No.
And going from what happened with the original movie as well, I don't think they ever really intended to. So, yeah, there's that. So, we have a slightly different point system for this kind of episode.
We
do. Because Matt and I actually worked on this plot prediction together. So, rather than coming up with separate plots, because we work together, we're going to sort of more so assign points to what we got right and what we got wrong. So, Matty D covered what we got right. No, sorry. So, Matty D covered what we got wrong. I covered what we got right.
Scared the shit out of me just then.
I almost said it round the wrong way. But, yeah, so we're going to end up with a ratio of right to wrong. And depending on which way the scales lean, we'll know whether we were closer to predicting the episode accurately or whether we weren't.
Yeah, and I think it's important to mention with this particular prediction that there was very little information out there with this movie. There was one teaser,
yep,
and it showed absolutely nothing. It was just a lot of flashes of stuff in the movie, but stuff we knew previously. So, we had no information going into this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We had a little bit of character background, like a very little bit of character background, but almost zero of the Sanderson sisters. So, most of what we came up with was just conjecture.
Yes.
But I've got to say, listening back, I was actually surprised.
I was too.
So, I said what we got right, wasn't it? I covered everything you got right. So, I might as well get that out of the way first.
All right. Let's hear it.
And see how well we did. So, this isn't necessarily something we got right, but it's just something I wanted to bring up. For some reason, you, Manny D, got the impression that Becca and Cassie were lesbians from the trailer.
Yeah.
And I was saying in the original episode, I'm like, I don't see that at all. And I still don't see that. I don't know. Well, what's funny is she has a boyfriend in the movie. It's clearly not. She's clearly not a lesbian. I mean, we don't really know. But I don't really know why you thought that was important to include in the movie.
Don't know.
Just from like one word that she said to Becca. Cassie, that is.
Yeah. Don't know. It's clearly not in the movie, though.
No, it's not in the movie. Now, back onto what we got right. We said that the plot would largely be a lazy retread of the original movie with nothing new really attempted. And that's dead on the money.
Okay, yes.
Absolutely. Now, one of the first major predictions we made in our plot was that Becca would gain magic powers by the end of the movie and would become a witch in her own right. She does. Now, we thought that the mayor would just be comic relief and would be completely useless.
Yeah, Buster Bluth. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's true. It was him. Sporky.
Yeah.
Sporky from Toy Story 4. Yeah, he...
He was. He was comic relief.
And he doesn't actually help them out at all.
I mean, he's important to the plot because he's the descendant of the Reverend, but other than
that... Yeah, but they don't even need him.
No.
They work out that they don't even need him, so they spend most of the movie chasing him to try and find him. Most of the Sanderson sisters' actions are trying to track down this mayor. And then it turns out they didn't need him the entire time. So, he was entirely useless. We thought that the movie would start with a childhood flashback, because of course it would, with the Sanderson sisters learning magic for the first time.
Yeah.
It absolutely did.
It's a good call.
That's 100% correct. We had no real idea that that was going to be the case, but no. It was the case.
No, I believe there was young people credited, so yeah, that's right. Where we got this idea from.
Yeah, but we also tossed up the idea of them, you know, sucking the souls out of several children and becoming that young, but yeah. Now, we called Becca's relationship with Gilbert and the magic shop pretty accurately. I was actually pretty impressed with that. Yeah. We had no real information that that was going to be the case. And we thought that the three teens from the original Hocus Pocus movie wouldn't appear in the sequel. And we thought that neither would Thackeray Binks, although there would be a black cat in the movie as a direct reference
to him.
Which
did happen.
That's 100% the case in both counts.
They reference him when the black cat appears. So.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, the three teens from that original movie, as we predicted, just no sight or word of them at all in this movie. Now, we called Cassie's relationship with Becca and Izzy pretty accurately as well.
Yeah.
They used to be close friends. She ended up falling in with a more popular crowd. And while she still likes Becca and Izzy, she doesn't spend a lot of time with them.
Yes. Cassie is the one that joins the popular crowd, right?
That's right. That's what I did. Hopefully, I
think you said Izzy.
I meant Cassie. Whatever. Sorry if I got people confused there. But yeah, Cassie. Yeah, what we said about her was pretty much 100% accurate. Let's ignore the lesbian stuff. But yeah, aside from that, everything we said about their relationship was dead on
pretty
the money.
Pretty much, yeah.
Now, we thought that when the Sanderson sisters would be resurrected, their goal would be to use the spellbook to allow them to stay resurrected permanently. 100% the case. Now, something else you mentioned that I thought was amusing. You thought that the reason that our heroes, Becca, Izzy, and Cassie, would be going to the mayor for help is because you said, like, oh, he can get them into places.
He's got the keys.
He has the keys to every place in the city.
He's got a skeleton key for every place in the city.
Like, did you think that the phrase, a key to the city, is like a literal thing that people have?
It was a joke, Kieran.
It was?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, well, good. Because I was just like, whoa, that's an interesting idea.
He just has a big key that opens every door.
But no, he was way more useless than that in the actual movie as well.
Well, he got his toffee apple. That's the main thing.
No, he didn't. He had to get like an imitation one and he was not happy with that at all. Now, we said that the movie would attempt to redeem the Sanderson sisters. It absolutely does try to attempt to redeem the Sanderson sisters.
Was that something we agreed on? Or
yep.
I thought we decided that that wasn't going to happen.
That was something you said and I said, oh, absolutely, they're going to do that.
So well, that does happen.
It does happen.
In the loosest possible
way. Very loose way. Right at the end of the movie. They really try and do it. But yeah, I could tell that they were trying to do it on purpose because they're like, oh, we want to potentially sell more movies in this franchise. And we want these characters to be somewhat likable rather than just unredeemable child killers. Because let's not forget that they are unredeemable child killers, as charming as they are. Now, we thought that the spellbook would be used to defeat the witches a second time. It absolutely is. There's sort of like a caveat in the big spell that they do that Becca ends up using against them. And we mentioned that the witches would ride on devices that are similar to broomstick, recycling a gag from the first movie.
What a prediction.
Now, that was true, but I just want to point out as well that our friend Jody actually suggested, she wrote in and suggested, oh, what if they actually rode around on Roombas? What if they did that?
What a call.
And that was something she had no idea was going to happen in the movie, but that absolutely did happen.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, great job, Jody.
Great job.
Now, the last thing that I wanted to bring up, we also thought that the Sanderson sisters would be impressed by smartphones. That was absolutely a gag they did in the movie.
Was it?
Yeah. So, there was a bunch of girls who were dressed as the Sanderson sisters who ran into, was it Walgreens, where the Sanderson sisters were like eating the cosmetics?
Yes.
They took like a selfie with the Sanderson sisters and there was like a filter that made them look younger. And so, they're like, oh, these potions that we're taking are making us look younger.
That's right. That does happen.
Are you sure it's Beast that's the most forgettable movie?
Here I was thinking that was something we got wrong, by the way, but I guess that did happen.
It did happen. It definitely did happen. But yeah. Great job, us.
Cool.
And that was everything that we got right. Well, that was all the highlights of everything we got right, giving us a total of 63 points.
63, that's pretty good.
Yeah,
that's
not bad at all, given that we had no information.
Yeah, we were very much relying on stuff we knew from the previous movie, so I think that really helped us out, as it was a retread.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, good call on that behalf.
All right, let's go into what we got wrong, and I guarantee you it's a shorter list, so let's get into it. So the first thing I think that needs to be addressed is we were wrong about the witch. Now, there was this witch that was credited in the cast list that we didn't see in any of the trailer or any of the promotional materials, and we were really struggling to work out where she fit in. The witch is in the flashback at the start of the movie.
Yeah, the childhood flashback, that's
which
right.
Which we definitely said was not going to be the case. Yeah. We go into a little bit later what the witch actually does, which we're wrong about.
Yes.
But she is actually in the flashback.
So, in the original episode, we credited her as just witch.
Yes.
Like, she was just credited as a mysterious and, what was it?
Sinister?
Sinister witch. And in the actual movie, she's credited as Mother Witch.
Okay.
Which is a retcon because in the original movie, they said that they were taught magic by their mother.
Yes.
Sort of indicating like their biological mother was the one who passed magic down to them. But they're sort of retconning it by making it, there's a separate sort of entity. There's a separate woman who refers to herself as the Mother Witch. Which is sort of, why, I guess it, in a loose way, it makes sense that why they would refer to their mother in this way.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know why they retconned it to say that.
Why did they
also said that they got the spell book from the devil, which wasn't actually the case either.
They got it from her.
They retconned that as well.
This Mother Witch, yeah.
I guess they tried to make it a little bit more,
family friendly.
Family friendly by removing sort of like... satanic
Satan
sort of
and-
yeah images and concepts and stuff like that, right. But yeah we're completely wrong on that behalf.
Yeah, anyway, this is something I am responsible for, but RuPaul is not in the movie.
Yeah, so what happened there?
There are members of RuPaul's Drag Race,
correct,
in the actual contest.
That's right,
the Sanderson Sisters contest.
Yeah, in the everyone's dressing up as the Sanderson Sisters and performing songs and stage numbers.
Yeah, I think I read that wrong. So.
Yeah, I figured that was the case.
Yeah, but it was members of RuPaul's Drag Race.
That's
not
right,
RuPaul
contestants
himself.
From the TV show.
Yes. Got that wrong. We were close here for the next point I've got here because we speculated that in the movie's flashback, they would speak about a spell that would be used later on, but we decided not to do that. And that turns out to be the case in the movie.
Yeah, that's right.
there was a big spell that was an all-powerful spell that they end up using at the end of the movie, or they're trying to make the Sanderson sisters not use that spell. And so we're very close to getting that right. Next thing I've got here is it was not the intention of any of our heroes to light the candle to resurrect the Sanderson sisters.
Correct,
it's something they do incidentally. So we got that kind of wrong. And also the gifting of the candle was sort of set up by Gilbert.
Yeah, well, we said it would be stolen in the original episode, but Gilbert actually just directly gave it to Becca in the actual movie.
Yeah, which I'll jump forward. Yeah, they didn't steal the candle. It was actually a gift by Gilbert, and he did it intentionally so that they would resurrect the Sanderson sisters.
Yeah, because he's an arsehole.
Because he is an arsehole. Okay, so we're sort of wrong with this next point. There is a bully at the school, but he is the most well-meaning bully there is. And he's also Cassie's boyfriend. So
we're actually kind of right in that point too, because we said that there'd be a bully, but it's not a traditional type of bully.
Well, we said that everyone would laugh at them for doing witch stuff, which does happen. That's something we got right. But we said there wouldn't be an actual bully that would give them a hard time. There is, but he's just not malicious. He's just the dumbest man alive.
Exactly, yeah.
Which I remember when I first watched the movie, I was like,
Cassie's boyfriend.
Yeah, this guy's a fun character. This next watch through, I was like, oh, God, this guy's annoying.
Yeah.
Next thing I say is the kids don't have the book until the end. We thought it would be a bigger part of the plot than that. They end up getting the book. We thought that they would have the book and the Sanderson sisters would be trying to grab the book off the kids.
Yep.
Yeah. Doesn't happen until the end where Becca is able to use her powers to the fullest extent.
Yep.
Next thing I've got here is that Gilbert resurrects Billy, not Becca.
Yeah,
we thought Becca and her friends would resurrect Billy.
Well, he was never really resurrected. He never actually was killed off in the previous movie.
No.
He was still awake and alive. He was just lying in his coffin until he was dug up again.
Yes, well, I take that as like they dig him out again.
Yeah, fair enough.
Comes back into the fold. Okay, next thing I've got here is we thought that the witch would appear in the end and help out our heroes.
The Mother Witch, that is.
The Mother Witch does not happen.
Nope. Completely wrong still on that count.
Yeah. So those are the things that we got wrong here. The last point I had was about technology, but you reminded me that there was that phone shot. So
you're going to have to take away a point.
Got to take away a point. And with that, we only got 18 things wrong.
Wow, there you go.
It was very, very hard to find the things we got wrong.
Yeah, I thought so too.
I think there's stuff missing in our plots, but for the most part, I think we called it pretty well. I mean, some of the stuff even I just said you could argue is kind of right.
Yeah.
But I was like, I guess it's kind of wrong. Yeah, I think it was a good day for both plots, I think.
Yeah, I think we did a really good job listening back to it. I was really impressed. Even with Beast as well, we did a good job calling that. So, yeah, both plots. Pretty impressed?
I don't think they were complicated plots. I don't think they were set up to trick anybody or have any twist or anything like that. So
no, they were both pretty straightforward movies that were pretty, frankly, easy to predict because both movies ended up being very predictable.
They did. Yes, they did.
That being the case, Matty D, I'm really curious to know, what were your thoughts on Hocus Pocus 2?
Yeah, right. So I thought this movie was fine. It was exactly what it needed to be, right? It was a retread of the first movie. It's very nostalgic. It had a sense of humor about itself. It was geared towards kids. It was geared towards people who grew up with the original franchise. It had enough callbacks that I thought was nice. It's not going to reinvent the wheel. It was fun. It's what a Hocus Pocus movie should be.
That's completely fair.
That's completely fair.
I agree with everything you say there, but I'm not going to say it's fine because I didn't like the original movie. I didn't have the same childhood attachment that you did. I didn't really like what they did with that original movie. And this was just more of the same for me. So I didn't really like this movie either. I was never really going to like this kind of movie. Yeah. It's not the movie I would typically watch. I still found the Sanderson sisters really annoying.
Yeah. Okay.
Especially in this movie, and
there was a lot of them.
Yeah, there certainly was. Yeah, it just didn't really grab me, man. Like, I found it just as boring as Beast, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, fair enough.
Just as forgettable as Beast. In fact, I think I said this was one of the most forgettable movies we covered in 2022.
I think that was on your list, right?
Yeah. If not, it was on the bad list. But
it was on one of them.
Yeah.
You did not like this movie at least.
No. When you And I'm going to bring it up again. I remember when we did that, you know, had that discussion about it in the best and worst of 2022. I remember being insulted by the fact that they just randomly put in a fart joke.
Yeah, I know.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, Mary farts, right?
Yeah, like she's just walking through a door. She's literally walking through a door and then just...
It's
like,
not funny.
They just go... Because they're like, I guess this scene isn't funny enough. We need a button on it. So let's just put in a random fart sound effect for no reason.
And everyone applauds. And it's just like, yeah.
Everyone at home applauds. Everyone stands up off their couches.
This is why Disney pays the big bucks here.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Genius.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're not above a fart joke ourselves.
No.
But we're not a multi-million dollar company.
True. Yeah.
And I feel like it was slightly insulting to Kathy Najimy as well, the actress. Because I'm like... I'm sure that wasn't her intention filming the scene. And I imagine if she watched the film back, they're like, why did they put a fart sound effect over me there?
Yeah. She would have had to watch the movie, Kieran.
Yeah, I'm presuming she probably didn't.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Look, they looked like they were having fun.
I tell you what, I said in the original episode that they looked tired.
Yeah.
And I feel a little bad for calling out the actresses for looking old because they can't help that. But to me, it sort of looked like they were only like half-heartedly doing things.
Right.
Like, what really got to me is like when they're dancing and they're singing when they're first reintroduced and on the stage, I'm like, their faces are so flat. Like there's no energy in their face at all. I'm just like, they look like they've either rehearsed this a million times and they're just going through the motions or they kind of don't want to be there. You know, but in other circumstances, I could see they were trying really hard. But it's just, there was moments where like, I could see how tired they are behind their eyes.
I thought the kids were better in this movie than
absolutely.
The last movie.
Yeah, the kids were definitely better and they weren't bad actors at all.
Yeah.
The one thing that ruined the ending for me was, do you remember how like the three kids, like they go arm in arm and they're walking down the street? They start doing the Sanderson sisters walk and I'm like, oh, that's kind of like a fun little moment there. Like they're in a way they're like a reflection of the Sanderson sisters, but like more positive.
Yeah.
And then they suddenly stop and go, why are we walking that way? Oh, wait, it's the same walk that the Sanderson sisters did. Oh, that's so funny that they do that. I'm like, oh, you're ruining it. You're ruining it. Stop it. You just ruined what could have potentially been like a fun little moment.
Yeah.
By like highlighting.
Explaining it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Explain the joke.
Terrible. I would not recommend people watch this movie unless they have some attachment to the original movie.
Yeah.
They'll probably get something out of it like you did.
This Hocus Pocus 1, Hocus Pocus 2, it's something to put on for the kids. It's something to put on like while you vacuum your house. It's not a movie.
While you fly in your vacuum around the house.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's one of those movies.
Yeah.
Halloween movie, you know.
Whatever. I could see that. Yeah, not a movie I'd put on, but yeah, I totally agree with you there. Oh, thanks, Siri. We were wondering if you'd pipe in this episode.
Oh, she's telling me about Halloween movies with Michael Myers you should watch.
Oh, yeah?
I wonder if Hocus Pocus is on here. Some horror movies are just more hype than anything. We have a list of overrated horror movies.
Hocus Pocus is definitely going to be on there. Yeah. Anyway, so what do you, the dear listener, think of both Beast and Hocus Pocus 2? Were you a fan of them? Were you not a fan of them? You can let us know in several places. You can send us an email at potentialspoilerspod@gmail.com. I promise I've been checking it again. You can find us on our social media pages on Facebook, Instagram, and X/Twitter. Or you can simply leave us a comment on this episode's page on our Podbean site.
That's right. That's right.
Oh, one thing I wanted to bring up, I forgot, I missed this note in my notes. Isn't it weird that the original Hocus Pocus movie exists as a movie within this new movie?
Sorry, what?
There's a scene where I believe it's the Sanderson sisters, they walk past a window and there's like a couple watching a movie in the
there
house.
There is, yeah.
And they're watching the original Hocus Pocus
it's
movie.
It's that movie, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is weird.
That is weird because it's based on like stuff that actually happened. So Why is there a movie?
Maybe it's like Scream. They've made a like Hocus Pocus
that
movie.
That was my thought, but they had the exact same actors.
Yeah.
Like they had the same people.
Yeah.
So did they just get those people to reenact it?
I didn't think they thought about it too much. I thought it was something they thought they could get away with because it's been so long since the original movie.
Yeah.
That only people that watch that will get
it. Yeah. And I guess you're not supposed to be sitting there scrutinizing why it doesn't make sense. But yeah.
The last thing I want to say, though, is like I think both these movies...
Oh, yeah. What's the connection between the two?
Well, I wasn't going to go into the connection, but I think...
I can think of one big one.
Yeah, I bet you can. But I think it's... These two movies are kind of the reason we started doing this show. Like these movies are pretty much predictable.
Yes.
Regardless of how you feel about either, like we could pretty much call the both movies from the promotional material.
Yeah, these kind of movies prove our point in doing the podcast in the first place.
So it's a nice little revisit into what really spurned the show in the first place.
Yeah, very much
in a way.
Yeah, good point.
Had a string of movies that have surprised us.
Yeah.
Or gone in different directions, but not these two.
Definitely not these two, and I'm sure there'll be more in the future. But will the movie that we cover next week be predictable at all? I'm going to be very curious to see both this movie and what we think is going to happen in it, because next week we're returning to the world of Mad Max.
Yay.
Would you believe it? This has been almost 10 years in the making. So almost 10 years ago, Matty D and I did a podcast called Best Movie Quest, and our first ever episode...
Wait, it was our first episode.
...was covering Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah, man.
Almost 10 years later...
We went to the cinemas with a notepad and took notes.
Yes. Almost 10 years later, we're getting the sequel that we were promised all the way back then. Yeah. We talked about it in the podcast back then. It's no longer available, folks. Don't look for it. We're going to be talking about Furiosa, a Mad Max saga.
Exciting.
There we go. It's been so long that they've replaced all the actors.
Yeah, that's no surprise.
With younger, more popular actors. But yeah, it was originally supposed to be Charlize Theron in the Furiosa role, reprising her role from Fury Road.
Yep.
But yeah, she's now Anya Taylor-Joy. But oh well, what can you do?
Oh well.
It's been 10 years. But yeah, it's finally happened. I love the Mad Max movie, so I can't wait to talk all about that next week.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
Yeah, but until then...
Oh no! Bye-bye.
Don't do it. Okay, I'll give it a try. Oh!
Beautiful. Look at it, the queen.
This isn't a pomegranate. This doesn't look a thing like Baba's a pomegranate.
Right. Like the moon.
Where have your breath,
and it is enormous.